Okay, let me just talk briefly about missions this morning. Over the last month or so, we've had a few visitors, Bob and Janine, of course, today, Hashan a couple of weeks ago, and then Belinda Groves prior to that from Lesotho. And we as a church believe in missions. We believe in some small way we can make a difference. That Jesus said, take the gospel forth and make disciples. We can't all go, but we can be involved in a number of ways. And that's why we are here. And as a church, we've committed, as a church, 20% of all of our income must go to missions. Even if we don't receive that in missions offerings, we make it up out of general offerings because we think it's so important. That's why we are also celebrating Night of Nations, because it represents the nations that where people have gone forth as missionaries across the world and disseminated, taken God's love and the life of Jesus Christ and the hope that comes with that. So I want to just read some scripture today, and I'm going to start in Matthew 25, verse 31 from the New Living Translation. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Every time I think about missions, I hear the Lord say, to the least of these, to the least of these. And when we look at that, we think about what is the least of these. They're people who are the ones that are downtrodden, the off-caste. They're least in size, in amount, in dignity. They're without a voice and they're without representation and usually without hope. And yet Jesus said, these are the people to whom you minister. When he said, he's talking about my brothers and sisters. The word brother means Adelphos, and it comes from a word, Delphos, meaning the womb. So Jesus is saying, we are from the same mother. In other words, that's how close our relationship is when we minister to others, like Bob and Janine are ministering to those kids. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how Jesus sees it. A very strong feeling Jesus has towards people. And he wants us to have such a heart too. And so when we use the word neighbour, the word means someone near by, someone close to, not just the people over the fence across the road, but it really, in a sense, we are near. Yesterday, we did a call to Jen and Jack, as we do usually on a Saturday, and they were near to us last week, but they're still near to us even though they're across the world. And we can look at them, talk to them, particularly with Zara. It's wonderful to be able to do that. What a great feature it is to just call it up on the screen and there it is, and you can see everything that's going on. It's marvellous. So let me take you to Luke chapter 10 this morning, and I don't want to go long, but I want to drop some thoughts in your mind. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus is telling some people, and he said, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what's written in the law? What's your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you answered rightly, do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, who's my neighbour? And I know Jesus was thinking, I'm glad you asked. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, didn't want to get involved. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side of the road. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So Jesus said, so which of these three do you think was neighbour to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. It's a challenging story, and it's a true story. It's not a parable, because he said a certain lawyer asked him the question and then goes down a certain Samaritan. And so Jesus relating something that actually happened. And we understand that the Levi and the priest didn't want to get involved because they would become ceremonially unclean if the guy was actually dead. They wouldn't be able to go into involved in the temple or anything like that for a period of time. And so this Samaritan was the first missionary I see in the New Testament. He went cross-culturally. And this is interesting, it wasn't from people from Israel that did it, it was from people from Samaria. The Jews actually hated the Samaritans because they were a mixed race. A certain king had mixed them up with other people, and so the Jews saw them as impure, therefore they weren't to be acknowledged. In fact, they called them dogs, and today I know we think of dogs as great pets, but in those days if you saw somebody a dog, it was a nasty, nasty statement that you made. This man had compassion. He showed mercy, which was a great thing to do to somebody from a nation that hated you. He risked his life and his goods. It said of this Jew who went down there, he was stripped of his clothing. They took everything. There was nothing remaining. And he's lying there, I guess, naked, half naked anyway, out in the sun, wounded, probably going to die if somebody didn't help him. And his fellow countrymen passed him by, but Jesus said a certain Samaritan. In other words, this was a definite story that occurred. A certain Samaritan had compassion on him. And so he risked his life and goods by going to help this guy, because how does he know the robbers aren't still around? This is a bad neighbourhood. Probably he was travelling with other people for a certain security, but by going and helping this man, the others moved on, he was left alone. He could have been robbed. He had an animal, obviously had goods on that, perhaps, that could have been taken. He was very, very brave to do what he did. He risked his reputation. Imagine when the other Samaritans heard about it. He would have been ribbed. He would have been joked about, cursed even, as he helped that Jew. He stepped out of his comfort zone to act in accord with his values. And Jesus used this as a high impact illustration. Consider today, we know that there is literally a war going on in Gaza, where the Israel Defense Force, the IDF, are in there doing. We're not here to debate the rights or wrongs of what's happening, but just supposing an Israeli soldier was injured in Gaza and one of the Palestinians went to him and in a dangerous situation and began to look after that wounded soldier and then take him somewhere safe where he could be ministered to and helped like that. That would be a very dramatic event, and probably, knowing Hamas, I think they would kill such a person who would do that, because they are such an evil group of people. But Jesus demonstrated missions. He went to, he was passing by Samaria and he was by a well, and a woman came out to draw water. Now this woman drawing water in the middle of the day is what the women of ill repute did, the prostitutes did, because they didn't come out with the normal women at dusk when it was cooler to get the water to take back. They were shunned. And so here coming this woman, She's got a bad reputation. She's come in the middle of the day. And then Jesus begins to talk to her. And she's shocked, one, that a man talked to her, and two, that it was a Jew who talked to her at the time. And Jesus began to draw her out about the water and said, "The water I can give you, you will never thirst from." And in fact, Jesus went on to reveal that he was the Messiah to this woman. Now, I don't see in the New Testament that Jesus really revealed his person as the Messiah to people in the land in which he lived. He spoke about being the Son of God and a lot of things like that, but he never said, "I'm the Messiah." But yet to this woman, he declared it. So here he has gone cross-culturally. And what happened from there? That woman returned when Jesus revealed that she'd had five husbands, and the one she's living with now was not a husband. And she realised that he was indeed who he said he was. She went back to her town and spoke about it, and people came out. And then Jesus stayed a weekend with them, days with them. And they responded to his message. So here's Jesus going to the Gentiles, which he said to his disciples, don't go to the Gentiles initially until he rose from the dead and sent them out. And it took God to interfere with the apostles. So Peter went down to Caesarea to a Roman centurion, and of course they got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter realized it was God's intent that the Gentiles were to be included in the message of salvation for the world that Jesus brought. So that was good news for us because we were Gentiles. So what I'm trying to convey to you this morning is it's important to get a heart. We can live our lives in comfort. Bob and Janine passed retirement age. Bob worked for the mines, could be living comfortably on a super pension. What he'd earned, what he's set up. He's got family in Australia. They've got family in Australia. But they let something get into their hearts and they went forth. And I really do respect that. To make their commitment to the place of India and where they are. And we were just talking the other day and they said, we're going to stay there. That's where we're going to get buried. Now that's commitment. That says something to the people whom he's ministering to. We're not just here for a short time. We're here to invest our lives in this place. And I really do respect them for that. So I just have a few thoughts for you as an action plan for missions and encourage you to take this on. Pray and listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you about missions. In other words, pray for missions. Set aside funds to support missions activities. I guarantee you this, I believe I have the Spirit of the Lord on this. If you put aside an amount, whether you start another bank account or your budget or whatever you do, I really believe God is going to set his hand on you and bring a blessing on those finances. Why? Because God cares about people. And when we invest in missions, we're getting involved with how God cares about people. We hear his heart. I'm not just talking, look, missions is anywhere. Missions is across the back fence. It's across the road. But I'm talking about missions across the world. And so we involve ourselves in missions in every respect, but particularly we're talking about people need financial help. I just was very, impacted by that photo of the young woman with the long dark hair and the photo who's now studying to be a lawyer because she wants to help the women, the young women, the women of that place, I gather, Jayapur, but maybe other places. Something burns in me when I see women mistreated. It really just stirs in me. I get so angry over domestic violence, over the treatment of women. And look, in Australia, I know we make mistakes here, but reasonably women are respected in our society. But in many of these nations, women are objects or possessions. And you can read the stories and just see how they're treated and how they're, even in their own family, treats them. And I get very angry about that because I know how God feels about it. So may God raise up people to do that. And that young lady, may God bless her and really help her do that. Teach your children why missions is important. In 2001, we took a trip to Sangau in Indonesia, where we are supporting a work there as well. And once again, it's involved in education of children to give them that opportunity. And we took with us my daughter, Jennifer, and also another girl from her class, Justine Hart. And Justine went there and she got involved, and she stayed longer than we did, actually. She stayed on and helped a bit further. And then Justine, together with her husband, Daniel Flynn, started the organisation Thank You Water. You may have heard of that. And from the profits of that, they intended, and they did, to provide clean drinking water in villages in Africa. And they've probably done it in other places. That's the one I can just think of at the moment. So something came into Justine's heart when she went on that missions trip, and also in my daughter's heart too, to be involved in missions. And so, parents, perhaps I can challenge you. Ben, you've been on a missions trip with your father, haven't you? That make a big impression? It did. See, it does make a difference when you do that. We may not go, we may not become missionaries as such overseas, but we can impact people as we share in that manner. Then get information about what's happening. Be enlightened. We send out emails. Z sends out an email where we receive information of things that are happening in our the ones we support, and we try and get it in the hands of people so that they know what's going on. Then realise God has empowered you to be able to support them, people financially and in prayer, people He's called to go into areas where they need our financial support. And Proverbs 19:17 says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and He will pay back what He has given." That slide with Sangeeta, I think was the girl's name on it. Bob didn't mention it, but there was a line there that says, "Family circumstance, poverty, and we can make a difference." $100 in Australia doesn't go far, but I'm thinking in to our pure to go some distance, wouldn't it, in helping people. So you might want to get behind supporting a child as they gain an education there, or in some other manner you can give, specify something, ask Bob what the need might be, and you can give to that. Be involved. I want to read you a poetic thought this morning that I think captures something about missions. "There once was a man from the land of yellow. Everything around him was yellow. The trees, the houses, even the food. And so was he. One day God whispered to his heart, 'Go to the land of blue, tell them about me.' So he packed up his life and left. But when he arrived in the land of blue, everything was different. He looked different. He sounded different. He felt out of place. Still, he stayed, not to fit in, but to reach the people for Jesus. So he began to change. He learned their ways. He spoke their language. He walked their streets and sat at their tables. But something strange happened. He was no longer fully yellow and never truly blue. He had become something else, something in between, green." This is the missionary secret. Missionaries become green and there's no going back. They no longer have a clear home. They carry two cultures in one heart, always missing someone, somewhere. Pray for the green ones, those who gave up a place called home so others could find their home in Christ." What a good thought. And Bob and Janine, I just want to salute you and honour you that you have become green, that you've given your lives in such a measure, in such an impartation. And it's only right that we do honour you for the role that you have carried out for those 21 years and till Jesus comes, maybe 25 years, maybe 30 years, however long that goes on. But may God bless you with health and strength. May His hand be upon you, and may you enjoy seeing the fruits of your labours come forth and demonstrate it in a mighty way. Thank you for your service in Jayapura and what you do. And thank you for our opportunity to have some small involvement with that as a church and as a people. God bless you both. Just want to remind you, we have a missions trip going to Sangau in the September school holidays. And maybe older children could go, but adults can go. It's a great trip and it really will speak to your life. Thank you, worship team. Come on up. I'm going to pray this morning. It's vital that we as a church have a missions heart. It's the heartbeat of God. And we want the presence of God in our church. We set that before us. It's one of the reasons we put a lot of energy into worship and a lot of time into worship. It's why we employ a worship pastor there, because we want to show God how much we love him, how much we want him to be with us. And it's more than just the presence. We want the person of God expressed in Jesus Christ. We ask the Holy Spirit to bring that to us. And that's vital that we do that. But as we get close to God, we need to let his heart touch our heart so that we as people express the heart of God within our community and beyond. And so therefore, as we come and worship, we let God bring change to us and work in us. Don't resist what God wants to do in you. I'm not saying you should go on missions unless God speaks to you about that. But I want to say this, in obedience to God, we want to be people who are involved in missions, whether it's prayer, giving, going, whatever it might be, that we can do something like that. And even in a small way, you can make a start in your giving to missions. I shouldn't embarrass you, Ben, but do you encourage your kids to give to missions? You give them something to give to missions. That's probably the important thing. And parents, you can start that with your children and build something into their lives. But as adults, we have to take it on board as well. So I hope you can hear what I'm trying to say this morning and the importance of that as we as a church. It's lovely to have the blessing of God's presence, but we need to take God's heart and what he has for other people. So why don't you stand and I'm going to pray. I have a sense in the Spirit of God that God is going to take some of the people from this congregation to take them into missions work, whatever that might look like. And I just want to say, Lord, we are yours and we will serve you in whatever way we can and faithfully give what we can and what you enable us to do, whether it's people or whether it's finance. We just set our hearts to that. Father, this morning, I thank you that people like Bob and Janine go and then come and share the vision with us and plant something in our hearts. I'm praying this morning that we can catch the vision that Jesus had for the taking of the gospel throughout the world, that we might capture and carry that life and anointing, that we might be the people who can make a difference in the lives of even just one, and what might go forth from that. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. Today we commit this church, I commit this church to you. We commit this church to you. Its people, its possessions, oh Lord, and the power that you put in our lives. We thank you, Father, that one day we will rejoice with those who be in heaven because people made sacrifices for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, for that opportunity. Amen.